Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's today's message.
Hey church, it's Nick Vujicic, and I wish I could be there in person, but I know that there is no luck, chance, or coincidence that you're watching this message, and we know that the person who really needs to be in the house is God himself, and I just want you to know I love you so much, you can't even see my hands. I just want to tell you, what you see is what you get with me, and I am privileged and honored and humbled to talk about and share my story about how God and my faith in Jesus has absolutely transformed me and given me the purpose that I've been looking for. You know, I know that arms and legs would be great to have. You know, I'll never forget when I was at school, kids would come up and say, "What happened?" And I'm like, man, I wish I had arms and legs. And sometimes I didn't know how to react. And I said, well, you know, we don't know why I was born this way. And they're like, but why? I'm like, but I don't know, but why? So man, I just figured out when kids come up and say, what happened? I just say, cigarettes. I learned from my parents, you know, Nick, look, maybe people have never seen anyone like you. Just talk to them and make a joke and, you know, it's going to be okay. And unfortunately, in some instances, I did take my humor a little bit too far. I know that some of you have actually seen me on YouTube and stuff. I don't know if you saw that YouTube video of me dressed up as the pilot greeting the passengers as they come on the plane. Like, for real. I had a pilot's hat on and a jacket on. My friend was the commercial airline pilot. We put hidden cameras down the jetway. And actually, you can see it on YouTube today. And I'm like, welcome aboard. My name is Captain Nick Vujicic. And they're like, what? I'm like, yes, I'll be flying the plane. We have some new technology. And I tell you, man, all the kids are like, oh man, this is so cool. I'm going to put it on Instagram. And all the parents are like, hey, did you know about this? No, I didn't know about this. And so once everyone was on the plane, my friend came up and said, okay, come on. So I walk on the plane just like this on the floor, and I look down the aisle and all their heads down the aisle like, and I got the microphone and I said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for boarding so fast. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was awesome, man. Like, some people came to Jesus right there and then. But you know what? When we understand, yes, we know that, you know, the world says, well, positivity is good and humor is good and the glass is either half empty or half full. You know, I was also told many things of just trying to be thankful and just trying to be positive. You know those people, just be positive. I feel like sometimes headbutting them in the face and say, just be positive. We know that, yes, there is power in perspective. There is a wonderful strength and reminder of where we've come from to where we are today that sometimes encourages our hearts and minds, but still there are some deeper questions in life that I was looking for. And I asked my mom and dad, I said, why was I born this way? And look, I have no arms and legs, and as you know, I have a little foot. And man, you know, when my doctors saw me, even though they saw my little foot, they had no idea that I would do half the things that I'm doing. They would have no idea that I'd be walking, golfing, fishing, swimming, skydiving, doing all the stuff that I do. Hey, and I now type today on my smartphone 53 words a minute after 2 cups of coffee. And you know, when they saw me, they told my parents, I'm so sorry. We didn't see that your son was going to be born this way. Sorry we never gave you an opportunity to choose if you want to keep him or not. My parents always said, Nick, we know that God never makes mistakes, and sometimes there are circumstances that he allows to happen, but whatever the enemy tried to use for bad, we know that God can turn it to good, but we had no idea that you'd be doing what you're doing. And I'll never forget on my wedding day how my dad confessed, son, I actually never thought you'd get married. And not only did you get married, but you got married to a beautiful woman of God who loves you and who loves God so much. In fact, right now, I'm gonna share with you a photo. Here's a family photo. This is Kanae, my wife. She is half Japanese, half Mexican. We call that Japsican. And we got married in 2012. And in 2013, Kiyoshi was born. And then 2.5 years after that, Dayan was born. And these beautiful twin girls, we actually were so blessed to have them in our life from 2017. So we've got Kiyoshi, Dayan, Olivia, and Ali. And I'll tell you right now, man, if I had fingers, I'd pinch myself. Because when I was a kid, I never thought I'd get married. I thought to myself, I'm not gonna get married. I can't do this, I can't do that. I won't even have a job. Even if I got married, I can't even hold my wife's hand. Even if I had kids, how am I gonna hold my kids when they're crying? But today, I realize I don't need hands to hold my wife's hand. I just need to be a husband that doesn't hold a hand as much as a husband that holds her heart. And when my kids cry, man, yeah, I can't put my arms around them, but they come up and they hug me. And I want you to know that we all have broken pieces. I'm never a person to say, hey, I know what you're going through, or, you know, I've gone through something. No. It's all about understanding that we all have a broken heart. We all sometimes are disabled with fear, anxiety, rejection, and really a loneliness that is hard to describe, especially when you feel like you have nothing to live for. And I love my mom and dad. They always said, Nick, don't worry about what's going on. God's got a plan for you. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks of you. And I'm like, but why? Why was I born this way? And I found out that my doctors don't know why I was born this way. My parents don't know why I was born this way. Lady Gaga don't know why I was born this way. And you know, there are just times in life where we don't know all the answers. And so for me, I was like, well, if a God is up there in heaven and he loves me and he made me, why did he make me this way? If he knows everything and if he can do everything and he knows that I'm crying and I wish, you know, I had arms and legs, then where are my arms and legs? Where's my miracle if you're the God of miracles? And I tell you, man, I had some really good questions about this existence of the loving God that some Christians are talking about. And I just want you to know, I'm not a Christian because of Christians. Let me just tell you right now, unfortunately, if you're a Christian because of a Christian, you ain't gonna be Christian for long. Meaning, we know that the definition of a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ because of who he was and what he did and what he said. And he did what he said he was going to do based on the Bible. For me, when I read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it was encouraging, and I want to right now just quote that verse, but it was still confusing for me that didn't know the plans that God had for me. But here's the verse, and it's a promise. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I'm like, a hope and a future? Like, wait a second, I have no arms and legs. And everyone else has more than me. And unfortunately, as I was actually going to the mainstream school, elementary school in Australia in 1989, not only was I the only one in a wheelchair, but my mum was used by God to challenge the government system, the education system of Australia at that time, to actually change and review the law that did not allow special needs children to go to school in a mainstream school. So really, I was one of the first in the whole country. And man, that unwanted attention at times at school, with or without that law, with or without going to school, just going to public places, people look at me and they're looking at me. And you know, I tell you, man, I'll never forget. There was this kid who was about 9 years old and he looks at me and I look at him and he crosses his arms and he's looking at me and he looks at my body, looks at my face, looks at my body, looks at my face, and he says, well, at least you got a head. And I want you to know, man, talk about being thankful, man. I love it. I love kids. And man, I love it. I love pulling pranks as well. Like one day I was in the front seat of a car and with the traffic lights, and this car comes up next to us and this girl's looking at me. So I'm looking at her. Like from the side, all she sees is my head, right? So I'm looking at her, she's looking at me, and I'm like, man, I want to freak her out. So I grab the seatbelt in my mouth and I loosen it like this so then I can freely move. Now she's looking at me like, why are you eating your seatbelt? And I'm like, man, this is gonna be good. And I loosen the seatbelt and imagine all you see is my head. I just did this. And she was like, like, she was ready to run the red light. Like, she was like, ah! It was the best, man. I tell you, I've been on baggage carousels of airports. I pulled off some pranks. And the cool thing about leaving, making some trouble is I never leave fingerprints behind. Ha, 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 ha. What I want you to know that yes, I actually did go through depression, but the bottom line is, even to a point of attempted suicide, but I'm never a person who says, hey, I understand what you're going through, like I said earlier. I actually tell teenagers, actually, that I believe it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms and legs. You see, no one woke up this morning and you got out from bed and looked at your 10 fingers and 10 toes and said, oh, I'm gonna have a great day because I got arms and legs. Arms and legs don't give you happiness. Money, drugs, sex, alcohol, pornography, fame, and fortune. If you put your happiness in temporary things, guess what? Your happiness will be temporary. And as we go through this world, it's quite interesting, man. I get to speak in front of little kids sometimes, and I'll never forget a little intimate session I had with about 30 or 40 eight-year-olds at a Christian school. And I said, hey, guys, can I ask you a question? And they're like, uh-huh. And I said, have you ever, ever, ever in your life been stressed? And they're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, well, what happened? What's going on? Homework is so hard, and my siblings, they annoy me every single day, and my parents, they didn't give me everything I want. And I'm like, oh, and I mean, to them, that's real stress, right? But then you talk to the 13-year-olds, man. Any 13-year-olds in the house, give me a whoop. Come on, whoop. Now listen, 13-year-olds, you know what stress is. Oh, everything around me is changing. I don't even know who I am anymore. I thought I could trust my friends and then they backstab me. I'm invited to the party, then they uninvite me to the party. What's with that? I put a do not disturb sign on my door and my parents still come into my room. They're freaking me out. I need my privacy. I need a boyfriend. Then you're 17. You're like, oh, finally, I'm 17, and I'm not gonna have stress. Nah, man, you talk to the 17-year-olds. They're freaking out. Now I gotta get into college. If I could just get into college, then everything's gonna be okay. You get into college, and is everything okay? No! What do you now need? Money! Oh, God, please give me a job. If you just give me a job, then everything's gonna be okay. No! You finally get your job, and after 2 days, you look at your boss in the face, and you look at God, and you say, God, really? You give me him? I hate him, right? It's like he's stressing me out. And then all the single people, all the single ladies, all the single people, when I finally get the one, then I'll finally be happy. No! Go talk to the married people. They're gonna tell you, honey, if you ain't happy single, you ain't gonna be happy married. Can you hear an amen? Those are the married people saying amen in your church. So I want you to know that so many of us, when we see circumstances and we see what we could imagine to be our future, it's sometimes very discouraging. Because sometimes you keep on wanting something and you keep on waiting for something you want and you finally get what you want and you figure out it's actually not what you need. What do we need? The truth. What's the truth? The truth of our value, the truth of our identity, because God loved the world so much. We're his adopted children. Some of you teenagers, you know, you say the F word to be cool. Am I cool enough to be your friend? Yeah, I don't say the F word. Am I still cool enough to be your friend? Yeah. You know, some of us guys think, oh, I need a girlfriend to feel tough and rah, rah, rah. You know, building up my bicep muscles. Man, my biceps were so big they fell off. You understand me? And you girls, you put your security in thinking that you need a boyfriend. It's like you're allergic to being single. Man, I got my twin girls. I'll tell you right now, they ain't ever dating looking for a boyfriend. They're going to date under one condition, that they can look at me in the eye and say, Dad, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I'm at a possibility of a guy that has caught my attention, and I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I actually am looking for my husband, and I want to take him out, Daddy, on a coffee date, if that's cool, just to see, because you know, Daddy, I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for my soulmate, the father of my children. You see, my daughters ain't going on a date looking for a boyfriend, because for as long as you're looking for a boyfriend, you're going to find a boyfriend. And you know what happens with boyfriends and girlfriends? You have sex before marriage when you felt like you were not going to do that. And I want you to know, sex before marriage is wrong. Why? Well, first of all, straight up, God is love, and He made that for marriage. Sex out of marriage is a counterfeit to how God actually made it to be enjoyed and blessed by Him. And sex ain't love. You can sleep with anyone you want as many times you want, still wonder, do they love you? Girls, you don't need a boyfriend to feel loved. You don't need to look more pretty. You're beautiful just the way that you are. You are royalty, girl. You're royalty. Your dad is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I ain't just a little boy with no arms, no legs. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God formed me in my mother's womb in His likeness, not without arms and legs. God, this is not God's perfect design. Adam and Eve had arms and legs. Nick didn't. Why? Because it's not that God gave me this disability. It's the enemy that when sin came into the world, it brought in disease, sickness, disabilities, fear, anxiety, all the stuff that we know as death that came from sin and the curses of sin. But what the enemy again tried to use for bad, God can use for good. What I want you to know is this, is that we have a choice to really look into the truth. Just because everyone gets drunk, is it okay? Just because everyone gets high, is that okay? Just because everyone's sleeping around, is that okay? No, not according to God. And it's not a God of rules. That's why I don't want to give my life to God, because He just restricts me. Are you serious? He's the God of freedom. He wants to give you His best. I don't want my best idea of a girlfriend or a wife. I want God's best idea for my girlfriend who's going to be my wife. Do you understand? I wanted arms and legs, man. I mean, how can a limbless kid not want arms and legs? And I prayed for arms and legs, and I prayed for arms and legs, and I begged God for arms and legs, and I cried for arms and legs. I fell asleep crying with tears on my face. Why? Because I felt like there was no hope. Because of what I see, because of what I felt, because of what I saw, I started to believe that actually God owed me an explanation. You feel like God owes you something? I did too. So God, explain to me, what is up? Where are you? What did I do to deserve this? Do I need to be better? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to do this, that, have the gifts of the Holy Spirit before you really answer me? No. No. But here's my story. When I was age 8, I went into depression. It was the first time I thought of actually committing suicide. It was hard. It was very lonely. I felt like I was a burden to my parents. I felt like I'd never be independent, never be happy. And I thought I'd be bullied for the rest of my life. And at age 10, I actually told my dad, Dad, I want to go have a bath. And he filled it up with about 6 inches of water. And I said, close the door. That was supposed to be the last time I saw my dad. My mind. And as I turned over in the bathtub trying to figure out how much water do you actually take into your lungs before you then allow yourself to struggle to death. And as I was turning over the third time, I was stopped by one thought. And it was the thought of seeing my mum and my dad crying at my grave, wishing they could have done something more. Picturing my brother who loved me, not understanding what just happened. They didn't deserve that pain. By the grace of God. Can you say that? By the grace of God. Say it again. Ready? By the grace of God. I'm still here. And I had broken pieces, and we all have broken pieces, and there is no hope in comparing your broken pieces to anyone else's broken pieces. Broken pieces are broken pieces. We can have a positive attitude, and we can be a good person or a good citizen of our country. But deep down, only faith in God, the healer, the transformer, the one who's given you life, and even your soul, is the only one who can heal you. The Creator who created you will tell you your purpose if you keep on looking. That's why I love Jeremiah 29:11, because the next verse says, "Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Verse 13, "You will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Verse 14, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord." I was searching for God for years, and then I gave up. It's like if I'm calling you and you don't pick up, and I text you and I WhatsApp you and I ping you on Instagram and you never get back to me, I think I'm going to end up giving up. Some of us hang up on God because He's not answering. Well, I want you to know that, first of all, God has a plan. He has a tremendous plan, and He has the power to do all things. Now to Him who can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask, imagine, or attain. Wait a second, what does that mean? Let me tell you. Today I can tell you right now, I am thankful that God still has not given me arms and legs at this point, because I've seen the greater purpose that He's had. Now, does that mean I don't pray for arms and legs? No, I pray for arms and legs. Does that mean Nick doesn't have a pair of shoes in his closet? No, I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case God says yes. And I want you to know that the moment that God can't say no to my prayer is the moment I've put my plan and my authority and my intelligence over the authority and reverence of God. He is sovereign. He is way higher than me. You can't even compare me to Him. Anyone to Him. He is God. He's the Alpha and Omega, and me to be His adopted son. I am not just a kid without arms and legs. I'm a child of God. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am surrounded by His angels, and I don't need the affirmation of the world. I know that I'm an ambassador of Him, and I can stand in front of the gates of hell and redirect traffic. That's who I am. Not on my own, not in my authority, but because I know that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and Jesus gave me the greatest cure of my greatest disability, forgiveness of my sins, resurrection from the dead. I want to live forever. Why are you so happy, Nick? You're so positive. That's your secret, right? No. Positivity isn't a coping mechanism. Positivity, optimism, joy, love, peace is a fruit of why I believe what I believe is true. And I now have joy because I know I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. I know that when a circumstance is bigger than me, I'm okay because God is bigger than my problem. And He can change my problem. He can change any heart. He can change any circumstance. And if He chooses not to change it, His grace is sufficient that He can even take my broken pieces and even help me to be a miracle in His hands for someone else. See, I was begging for God to give me a miracle. I want to tell you, friend, today, sometimes God doesn't give us the miracle. But it doesn't mean you can't be a miracle. You see, I prayed in 2017 with full faith that my dad would not die of cancer. But when you're a citizen of heaven passing through like my dad, even if he takes his last breath because of cancer in his body, he knows that if he didn't die of cancer, he's eventually gonna die of old age or a car crash. I mean, I've been on 2,500 planes. Do you understand? I've been on on one plane that was on worldwide news during an electrical storm. I saw the runway through the side window of that plane. It was ridiculous. I've been in nearly six head-on crashes with cars. I've even had death threats on my life. Someone said, if you ever come back to my country, 2003, if you ever come back to my country, we see another 60,000 people give their life to Jesus Christ. If you ever show your face in my country and you ever talk about your Jesus like you've done in the past, I will come there and kill you. A couple years later, we went back to the country, not because we're stupid, but we know that there is no greater place to be than exactly where God wants us to be. We went, we preached the gospel, 60,000 souls gave their life to Jesus Christ in 6 days, and we got an email again from that same person saying, hey, I was the one who threatened you years ago. I was the one that came tonight to actually kill you, but I gave my life to Jesus Christ instead. Come on, man. That's my Jesus. That's my Lord. I know that He's not going to let me go home 1 minute before or later because He has a divine plan. He had a plan. I didn't know that I would be a speaker talking about hope. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I didn't know that at 24 years old, I'll be speaking at a church in Southern California. When I was 24, I saw in the crowd a little boy being held up above everyone else. And I saw he had no arms and no legs. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, wow, he's exactly like me, man. I want to wrestle him later on. And I asked the father to bring him up on stage, and he's sitting next to me. Now, little cute Daniel, 19 months old, looking up at me. I'm looking down at him. And I'm like, man, I can't give him a high five. So I put my foot on his foot and gave him a low two. It was awesome. And he smiled, and then everyone cried. And his mother came up in the crowd, and she can't stop crying. She says, thank you so much. I'm so thankful. Now I know that little Daniel has a greater purpose. Thank you for being our miracle. Man, that's when I realized my history is His story. I don't write my own story. My story is not more important than your story. Your history is His story. You had an alcoholic father and you're still here, and God can take your broken pieces and do something beautiful with our broken pieces so that you can help someone else who feels depressed, who feels like giving up, and you can say, no, Jesus died for me. I know that I fail God every day, but I have found a greater purpose. I found a greater hope, and I'm never going to die. And I want you to know that there is a Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father, who loves you too, who can take your heart and heal you. And I'll tell you, man, it was the best drug ever when you could see that God can take the brokenness that we couldn't do anything with, the regret, the hurt, the loneliness, the depression, the fear, and take that and be used for one person. I mean, for real. What do you think I want? Arms and legs for 90 years that's going to give me arthritis later on anyway? Or that day in heaven where I'm going to see Jesus, and that's awesome, and give Him a hug, and the first hand that I hold is the pierced hands of my Lord and Savior. But when I'm in heaven, I'm looking forward to this one day where I hear, hey, Nat! And I'll be looking, and it's going to be Daniel with his arms and legs, me with my arms and legs, run and meet in the middle and wrap each other's arms around each other, standing on our own two legs, and I'm sure we're gonna be weeping for joy, and I'm sure he's gonna say, thank you, Brother Nick, for helping me believe that this place called heaven was real. Come on. There's nothing that can be compared to that. Do I pray for arms and legs? I do. Do I have a pair of shoes? Yes, I do. But I love Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and let the peace of God that surpasses your understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Here it is. Ready? Modern day language. I will ask God for anything my heart desires for. There is nothing wrong, guys, with being successful and having money, but definitely don't worship that ideology of getting married or having that job or having that retirement account or a new relationship or that boyfriend or girlfriend to feel happy. because stuff of this world, even relationships, will not make you happy. But knowing the truth that you're a child of God and that you have a God who does love you, that when you can come to Him with faith and you can pray for something, if He says no, He still has a good plan. And now, with no arms and no legs, traveling around the world through the ministry of Life Without Limbs, I want to show you a photo. This is Ukraine, Kiev. Hundreds of thousands of people were gathered. That went for like 3/4 of a mile down that street. Some people dispute how many people were there. There were a ton of people there, but let me tell you, half of them gave their life to Jesus Christ right there and then after a 90-minute speech. But here's the incredible part, that 52.7 million people were watching that entire 90 minutes on mainstream TV with no commercials nor advertising. 53 million people, nearly 353 million, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in that 90 minutes. Here's another photo I want to share with you. This is the government of Ukraine in April 2017 on national live TV, the most popular viewed program for 5 years on Ukrainian television, as a limbless man, Nick Vujicic, talked about the power of God and the Bible on a governmental level. Do you notice that they're not in their chairs? They're on their knees. They prayed for the forgiveness of sins of Ukraine, that God would come and heal their land, and that God would give them the wisdom as a government to honor Him in the laws that they have. 18 presidents I've been able to meet face to face, shake the hands of so far. And I just want you to know, it's not about meeting the who's who of who. It's not about how many people we do or talk about. And as a ministry of Life Without Limbs, it's always about reaching the one person who feels like giving up. And yes, we've preached the gospel to 730 million people. Man, I don't care about the numbers. We care about you. You. It's no luck, chance, or coincidence that you're watching this. It's no luck, chance, or coincidence that you have what you have right now in burdens and worries and cares. I want you to know that He'll meet you exactly where you're at. Well, I don't want to be a Christian yet because I still say the F word. Well, if you say the F word after giving your life to God, do you think you're going to hell? Hell no. It's about deciding. What do you believe? And if you really believe what you believe, it's understanding that as a teenager at 15 years old, that there is a war in the spiritual realm between lies and truth, and the truth will set you free. So if I don't know that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made, I'm going to believe the lie that I'm ugly. Oh, you're ugly. You're nobody. God doesn't love you. You might as well just give up. No, this is too hard for you. No, Philippians 4, verse 13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, you've messed up. Yeah, you gave your life to Jesus, but you're not a real Christian because you still sin. Are you serious? You think that God's surprised that you're still going to be sinning? He knows that we're never going to be perfect, but it is the decision that there and then between the war of the lies and truth, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that you are a sinner, that He died for your sins. You see, Adam and Eve didn't have to die until they sinned. Does that make sense? Death did not come. Suffering, disabilities did not come until sin came. Well, when did sin come? Well, when the serpent came in to the Garden of Eden. Well, then why did God allow the serpent of Satan come into the Garden of Eden in the first place if He knew that all the pain in the world would happen after him? If God did not allow the serpent to come into the Garden of Eden, and God says to Adam and Eve, I gave you free choice, but never allows Adam and Eve to hear another voice except His, I could intelligently argue that God never then gave Adam and Eve choice. He had to allow the serpent to say something else other than what God said. And Adam and Eve have free will and free choice, and they chose to believe the lies. Just like you and I have choice today to believe the truth or the lies. For me, at age 15, I gave my life to Jesus Christ after seeing a man who was born blind, and no one knew why he was born that way. And imagine being blind and hearing this conversation between Jesus and the villagers and the people who were following Jesus, trying to find a loophole to accuse him of something. And they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, why was this man born blind?" And Jesus says, "It was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him." Jesus spits in the dirt, puts mud on the blind man's face. The blind man didn't see it coming. Now, wait a second. Hold on a second. If I'm blind and I'm hearing this conversation and I hear a boom, and then someone puts mud on my face, I'd be like, "Hey, whoa, 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 back up. Sorry. Who are you? What are you doing? Tell me what's going on. I didn't ask for a facial." He didn't get sat down by Jesus and say, "Hey, Mr. Blind Man, my name's JC. I'm the healer. And I'm about to give you mud on your face. And when we're done, you're going to see." And my problem was, my disability was the lack of faith. I wanted a plan. I'm like, "God, if you really have a plan, tell me what your plan is, and then I'll trust you." Have you ever said that? "God, do this miracle, and then I'll believe." But really, the pinnacle of our relationship with Jesus Christ is not when he blesses you. The pinnacle of our relationship with Jesus Christ is when we believe, despite what we see, despite what we feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when I realized that he never gave a heads up to the blind man, I realized, who am I to ask God for a heads up? "God, forgive me of my sin. I'm a sinner. I know I'll never be perfect, but I choose to believe that you love me. I choose to believe that, Jesus, you died for my sins. I'll never be able to go to heaven on my own merit, because you are far greater than me, and heaven is perfect, and I'll never be. But come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and I pray for arms and legs. And if you give me arms and legs, I'll worship you and serve you for the rest of my life. And I'll go around the world and speak to presidents and go on TV to proclaim the gospel. But if you don't give me arms and legs, I will worship you and serve you all my life, and I'll still go and do whatever you want me to do. But please don't waste my pain. Use me. Here I am." And he did. Tell me, if God can use a donkey to speak according to scriptures, and God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then cannot God use you? The greatest cure of depression is purpose. You have a purpose. You're still here. Come to God right now. Your pastor now will take over, and I want you to know that I love you, and this is just the beginning.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.